what is the highest leverage thing for your team right now? Maybe it's spacing, but there's probably one thing that you could like really drill down to and train and direct focus to that's going to give you the most momentum going into the postseason.
Welcome to The Hours. This is a podcast for coaches at all levels who want to think, teach, and lead better. I'm Mark Cascio, joined by Tyler Costin, and we call this The Hours because this is where we get to deep dive and have real conversations and spend real time on the things that actually matter. You can get the show notes and tools from today's episode in our weekly newsletter, so check out the link below. Let's get into this week's episode. Every month we deep dive into a topic that help coaches win at a certain point of their season. Right now, as you're listening to this or as we're recording this, it is February. It's the end of basketball season. So Tyler and I have been talking a lot about what helps teams win at the end of the season. And we just did a webinar on this. We came up with some culture ideas, some offensive ideas, some defensive ideas. But what we just kept going back to is it's all about standards. Like, you can't let your standards slip at the end of the season. And Tyler had a really, really good point. He said the leader of any organization or program should have the highest standards. So my question, Tyler, to you is, do you think the leader has the highest standards because they have to, because they are the leader? Or do you think they became the leader because they hold themselves and the people around them to those high standards?
The quote that Hormozi used recently was this, and this framing is what really made me feel vulnerable and called out. He said, whoever has the highest standards must lead the organization, which is a little bit of a different approach or mindset than the head coach must have the highest standards. Instead, whoever has the highest standards must lead the organization, the team, the program. And if you think about that right now for your team that you're coaching, don't think of it as I'm the head coach. How do I hold a standard? Just take a moment and examine your entire program, from the players to the parents to your coaching staff to the athletic department. Which individual, just personally, has the highest standards? One, if it's not you, that's a problem. And it's a huge area of growth and opportunity, probably the most important one. Second, who is that individual and how do you elevate their voice in whatever place they hold in the hierarchy? As I'm thinking about all of the teams that I've been a part of, both in sport, in business, and in personal relationships, I would say that it's the successful ones, the head coach or the leader does have the highest standards. But I've been a part of many where they do not. Many where they do not. And I've never really had that lens before, Mark, of examining what might be the obstacle to team success.
Yeah.
What's been your experience?
Well, I'm going to go back and just highlight what you said. Like, whoever has the highest standards should be the leader. And so, like, in my experience, like, just working with coaches and coaching teams, like, where my mind went with that is standards are first. Like, standards are first and foremost. You shouldn't really do anything else until you've established standards. So if you're a coach at a first year of a program or a coach trying to get your team to peak right now, whatever it is like, make sure standards are first in your practice. Standards are first in your pregame. Standards are first in, you know, how you operate on a day-to-day basis. And then you also said something is like, evaluate in your program or organization who has the highest standards. Like, man, how many times do coaches ask us about electing captains? Like, should I have captains? You know, all my captains have always been a popularity contest. Like, if you are a coach that wants to have captains or wants to develop leaders, I would start by framing questions around who currently has the highest standards, not who do we want to have the highest standards? Who do we want to hold us accountable? It's like, no, who's already doing it, and then how do we leverage those standards? How do we leverage that fact that we have some people committed to high standards and have that bleed throughout the program? Last thing, you have like the 80-20 rule, which, like, you know, 20% of your efforts produce 80% of your results. 20% of the players on your team probably produce 80% of your results, right? Like, your best three players fill the stat sheet up more than the other, you know, the other 9 or 10 results. So if you're just looking at your team and you want to figure out, like, you're looking at it from a standards perspective, you probably have a split of like your top 10% of players, maybe one or two players have like really high standards and like match what you would want the ideal player to be. Those are your greatest teammates and leaders. Then you have this middle 80% that like are usually on the line. Sometimes they're a little bit below, sometimes they're above. And then you have this, the bottom 10% that are just like, do we even want this player? Does this player deserve to be in the program? A lot of our attention usually goes to those, to the bottom 10, because they suck our energy. Those are the energy vampires. What I would encourage coaches, if you're looking at your team or your coaching staff and you want to pull somebody into your level of standards, if you are the highest standard holder of your program, focus on that 80%. Like, if you can get one or two of those 80%, that middle 80% into your top 10, your culture or whatever you're doing, your practices, your level of play in games will be so much better just by moving one to two players into that top 10%.
And I'm going to say something that might shock people that have been listening for a while and maybe have a perception around savvy coaching or a savvy approach as soft, because, you know, we've definitely gone to war against many traditional coaching habits and techniques as, okay, we don't want to just arbitrarily punish people, or, you know, we don't want to, you know, just do these things because it's how we've always done it. You know, a lot of times people associate old school with toughness and new school with softness. And I think there's the perception out there that savvy might be a little bit more on the softer side. Oh, they don't want to tell people how it should be done. They want to let them explore and discover it themselves. And, oh, you know, you don't want to just run for conditioning's sake, right? Soft. You should annually, every year, every season, just cut the bottom 10%. Just cut them. Just tell them to go away. And we are the development guys. We are the, it takes a long time to get good guys. But let me be very clear about what Mark and I are saying about the bottom 10%. This has nothing to do with their skill or their talent. I'm not saying cut bad players. I'm saying cut bad teammates. If their energy, effort, focus, commitment are below standard, if they're in the bottom 10%, if they are dragging down the group, they need to go away. And having them go away can be the best thing for their lives, and it's definitely the best thing for your team, because a percentage of the people that go away come back different. And a percentage of the people that go away don't ever come back. Both are wins. Because those people that don't ever come back, I know we feel an obligation to help those kids, to help those people. There's a verse in the Bible that says, those who sow and those who reap will rejoice together in heaven. We don't know the harvest of the seeds we sow. And sometimes we sow seeds by just holding the standard and saying, this is not good enough. And that person goes away and they experience the same thing, and they keep just, you know, banging their head against a brick wall, wondering why it hurts, until eventually it happens enough that they change. But I tell you what won't make someone change: allowing them to continue the way that they are. So that would be maybe a little bit shocking to some people listening, but I really believe you should do that. But again, just because someone's inexperienced or untalented, I'm not talking about them in the bottom 10%. We've got a girl in our academy right now, brand new to basketball, 8th grade, unskilled. Amazing energy, amazing effort, a joy to have in practice. She recognizes, and just like, if she doesn't understand something, she just sits on the side and watches. I said, you need to get in there. She's like, I'm not ready yet. I need to watch more. I love that kid. I want them here. They're not bottom 10%, even though they're probably the worst player on the team, right? But then we also have a kid that is probably the best player on the team. And I had to have a conversation with that kid on Saturday. I said, if this one thing does not change, you need to go away. Probably the top two players in the entire program.
Whether you're a first-time listener or a regular listener, I want to thank you for being here. And if there's something that you've heard and you want to go deeper with us, the absolute best way is to join our Savvy Basketball membership. You can get ongoing support from Tyler and I and our exclusive community, but you also get our entire classroom of courses and weekly live coaching calls. So if you have questions on offense, defense, player development, practice design, culture building, anything that you need support on, we're here to help. And the best way to get that help is through our Savvy Basketball membership. I have our 7-day free trial on. If you want to give it a shot, the link is in the description below. All right, back to the episode.
Yeah, if you're evaluating anything, like if you want somebody to be better, and that's your job as a coach, like you got to take somebody where they can't go themselves. You got to give them the tools and the motivation or the whatever, create the environment. The pain of not changing has to be better than the pain of changing. So, you know, if I'm just going to refuse to change, well, then that pain is I'm going to be removed, you know? So I better go through the pain of changing. But I think too often it's like we plead and we beg and we yell and we tell people to change instead of just like, all right, like if you don't do this, it's going to suck worse, right, for you than like the actual process of getting better. So so eating healthy, exercising takes a lot of discipline, but the pain of not doing that is you pay for it later. Like you're unhealthy. You're going to have issues down the line. It's going to be actually more expensive on you than if you just like paid the price daily by being a little bit more disciplined.
Yeah. Okay. This is a great segue into a moment. A moment of standards, a moment of care, a moment of discipline. There's many moments in all of our journeys and all of our lives and our experiences where we grow, where we change, where we level up. Here is one of my most memorable, and feel free to use this test. It's called the water test. And one of my mentors, Dick DiVenzio, who has written amazing books like Stuff Good Players Should Know, Smart Moves, Running the Show, There's Only One Way to Win. I believe this story is in either Smart Moves or Running the Show. It's called the water test. But I actually experienced the water test in person as a senior in high school at Dick DiVenzio's Point Guard College. We were having, he was speaking to a group of us, all were college point guards or high school point guards aspiring to play in college, leaders in our team, high achievers, theoretically. Right. And I remember he said to me or someone next to me, and he said, well, how bad do you want it? Like, how bad do you want to be great? How much do you care? And we're like, man, it's the most important thing in my life. Right. This is it. This is it. I die for this. I love this. And he's like, okay, let's do this. And we walked over to a sink, like in this bathroom, filled up the sink with water. And he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to put your face under the water. And when you feel like you have to come up and breathe, don't come up and breathe. Right. He said, just stay under. And then when you can't hold your breath anymore, I want you to actually try to breathe in the water before you come up. So we go through this process, right? It's my turn. I go through the process. And I'm under the water. I'm like, okay, this is fine. I'm just doing this silly thing. And then you get a point where you have to breathe. And I'm thinking through all these things. What are the people around me are thinking about right now? What's Dick DiVenzio think about right now? Like, my mind's everywhere. And then all of a sudden, I need oxygen. And all of those thoughts go away. And the only thing that my mind can process is, I need to breathe, right? I'm like, I have to come up. But then I remember, don't come up. So I stayed longer, right? Now I'm like, I am getting a little bit of like panic here. All I can think is I need to breathe. And then I heard what he said, try to breathe in the water. I couldn't force my body to breathe the water in. I tried to, my body would not do it, right? And now I'm like nothing else matters, right? And I have to breathe. Nothing else is even entering into my mind. And then before I drown, I pull up, right? And everyone had this similar experience. And his question was, okay, Do you want to be great as much as you wanted to breathe in that moment? And I felt it. And I felt it. You know what? No, I don't. I wanted to breathe more than I wanted to be great. And it leveled up my care and like my internal just drive, discipline, standards I was going to hold myself to. Like, there's a difference between me wanting to breathe and me wanting to be great. And until you want to be great as much as you want to breathe, you won't be great. And I mean, that's just been one moment that stuck with me. And I need to do the water test with my kids. I need to go drown my kids. Okay. Don't turn me in. I need to do the water test with my kids and really anyone that I'm leading. But that was just a very pivotal moment that I can recall to this day. Cause I was having that conversation with, who was I having just the other day? Like, oh, it was my aunt. My aunt's visiting from Washington. She doesn't see me very often. I see her maybe once every couple of years. And she's been living in our house. And she's like, wow. She's like, Tyler, like, you do so many things throughout the day. Like, where does that drive come from? And it actually made me think of this test. I'm like, it came from me wanting to be great as much as I want to breathe. And that would be just the tool I'd offer up to everyone listening as well.
Yeah. It was, what's cool about it is you'd said like everything's going through your mind and then you focused on one thing. Right. And that was like, I need air. So, all right, I'm going to share a similar water test or another water test. And I'm going to try to connect this to like, all right, winning at the right time or something that a coach can take away and apply to their team. Okay.
Other than drowning all of their players.
Yeah. We'll waterboard your kids later. Yeah. I'll be in Phoenix next week. Maybe we'll do that. Okay. This is going to come back to the amount of film that we've watched of our members recently. And I find myself giving a lot of the same feedback. So here's my water test or the water glass effect. Imagine you're holding a glass of water. Okay. And I asked you, how much does that water weigh? You could give me like, well, it weighs a pound or this many ounces or whatever, but it really depends how long you hold it. Right? If you hold that glass for 10 seconds, well, whatever it weighs is insignificant. But if I asked you to hold that glass for an hour, 3 days, 3 months, it'd be impossible, right? It would get way too heavy. The weight's not changing. It's the amount of time on whatever you're bearing. And what I'm going to connect this to, I could connect this to many things in coaching. It could be standards. It could be, you know, a problem in your program. It could be something you're holding on to internally, but I'm going to use it to like the highest leverage thing that a coach can do as far as coaching their team. It's spacing. Like the feedback I go back to with coaches all the time, we say offense is spacing is offense. Okay. Start with spacing. And then somewhere along the line, we go away from that and we're still holding the weight of spacing. So for instance, a coach reached out, hey, we've got a big game. They ran this defense against us. What should we do? I want to install XYZ. I'm like, well, your spacing, you can't install another action until we fix our spacing. Or my team settles for fives. Okay, well, if we just improve our spacing, those fives probably turn into nines or sevens. Or we can leverage that advantage a little bit more. If you direct your attention, like Tyler's attention went to like, I just need oxygen. I'm not worried about what Dick DiVincenzo is thinking about, what the people around me are thinking about. I just need this one thing. What is the highest leverage thing for your team right now? Maybe it's spacing, but there's probably one thing that you could like really drill down to and train and direct focus to that's going to give you the most momentum going into the postseason.
That's good. I mean, it's general advice for greatness and specific applicable advice for where you're at in your season. And honestly, that's what we're trying to do here. It's Savvy, and I'll just share. It's awesome. We've added thousands and thousands of listeners to this podcast within the last 30 days. And a big part of that is just you, the listener, you're sharing it. So we're very thankful that more people find it valuable. Mark and I are committed to adding value to the coaching world and revolutionizing the way the game is taught and therefore played. And you're part of that revolution. So please continue to be. If every one of you as a listener just thought about who in my life might get value from this, please share it. One thing I love about Mark is every time we talk, he's like, there's a podcast you need to listen to. And he's like, yeah, he cares about me. So he wants me to learn cool stuff. If you care about people, you want them to learn cool stuff. The greatest way that you can thank us for giving you this value is to pay it forward. That's what we ask for every coach, is like, don't hold it in. We said this so many times. There's a handful of savvy coaches that are like, no, I don't want anyone else in my area to know the secrets, you know? And we're trying to coach them into, no, honestly, the more you share, the better you will be. The more you hold and try to protect, the less you will grow. So be a sharer of the game, be a sharer of knowledge, be a sharer of good things.
Yeah, and I'm gonna give you a 30-second story on this. It's kind of corny, but I saw it and it applies. If we both have an Apple and Tyler gives me his Apple, and I now have two, right? Even if I give Tyler my Apple, now we each have one. But if I've got a great idea and Tyler has a great idea and we give each other ideas, now we both have two great ideas. So I talk to a lot of coaches and they're like, I don't want anybody to know that y'all exist because y'all are the secret weapon, where it's like, I get it, but that's also like a losing mindset because it's, you want to share mindset. The game. Yeah. You lighting another candle doesn't diminish your flame. Like, and here's the thing. If you are the coach that you think you are, you'll do it better anyway. So make sure to share the podcast. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. We'll see you next time. Stay savvy.
Stay savvy.
Thanks for making it to the end of the hours. And before I let you go, I want to make sure you can continue to learn with us in between episodes by joining our newsletter. You'll get weekly coaching insights to your inbox, which includes coaching notes from every episode. No spam, just clear, practical tools that'll make you a better coach. You can sign up at SavvyCoach.com. Stay savvy.